Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you have a getting to know you question ready? This is Hooked, the podcast where we give you all the plot hooks that you'll ever need in your entire life, whatever game you play. I'm your host, Saint C. Weber, with me at the table tonight to talk plot hooks and general RPG stuff.
It's me, Jonathan.
And...
Dom!
And...
It's Faith!
Everyone sound really excited to be here, Faith.
I am. I'm actually very excited about this plot hook.
Excellent. Well,
I just spilled white claw all over myself, so this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah. All right.
The Gen Z with their white claw.
We're painting a very vivid picture of what this room's like for you at the moment.
Yeah.
So if you're joining us for the first time, what we do here is we take inspiration from an image, sometimes a Magic the Gathering card, but this time from a fan-submitted artwork and a random word, and we create some plot hooks in the form of a magic trick. We start with a pledge, which is the tiny seed of the idea. Then we turn it into something more interesting and fulfilled. And then finally, in the prestige, we discuss how it might play out in an actual game scenario. Now, you know each other very well. We've been in this room for hours now.
Actually, Zane, I'm not certain that I really understand you as a person yet.
That's intentional.
But I would like to get to know everyone in this room better, really get close to you, bond on an emotional level.
Regardless of the question that you ask me, what makes you think that it won't obfuscate me as a person further?
I can live in hope.
All right.
You're one of the few.
Do you have a question? You have a question that you would like everyone at the table to ask to get to know them better?
I'm actually keeping up the hero theme from last week going. And my question is, who is your favorite superhero or villain? I think that's an all right question.
I mean, it's easy for me. I mean, it's John Constantine.
Yeah, that's
I mean, he's neither hero nor villain. But yeah, the comic, I haven't watched the Arrow shows or anything, so I don't know what they're doing with him these days.
Yeah.
But I like the comics incarnation because he's a good person for the most part, but also a huge bastard.
Yeah.
Absolute bastard.
I really liked in one of the animated movies, they implied that King Shark was his ex, and I think that's beautiful.
Oh yeah, he's bisexual as hell.
Yeah.
In one comic I remember I read, because I read the Hellblazers, one comic one of his old friends has, like, I don't remember the details, but basically he's fucked up with a demon and stuff, and Constantine's like, well, the solution to this is to have you die horribly.
Yep.
And that happens, his mate dies fucking horribly, and is like, yeah, that's solved that.
That is a solution.
Like, he's the man who can con the devil, and I love that.
Yeah.
I don't have a favorite.
No?
No.
No, that's extremely fair.
Really
obfuscating yourself further.
I mean, I have lots of opinions about superheroes, but I don't think there's ever really been done one that's been done real well.
Yeah, that's fair. Anything you find very interesting?
A lot of the characters from Invincible, which was a comic a few years old now.
Yeah.
Basically alien superhuman tropes, but the Superman character and his Justice League, the Superman character is from an alien race, but technically just a plant here to take over the world
and use
humans as a breeding factory to make more of their race, because humans integrate very well with them genetically.
That's awesome.
But it basically plays out with his son. Because he turns into a villain and goes away and his son comes into his powers. But there's a lot of really interesting playing on tropes in Invincible. But none of the heroes there are particularly compelling.
Yeah.
Probably the closest one is their Iron Man analog. just called Robot, yeah. who becomes a villain.
Yeah.
He becomes the villain because he's like, if I'm in charge of the world, everything runs better. So I'm just going to be in charge of the world now.
I was going to ask, like, a favorite villain, or is it just not nothing in general? That's fair.
I like Kingpin as a villain.
Yeah.
Particularly, like, I think he's a villain that does particularly well.
Yeah.
Just because, like, he goes beyond the, like, muscle villain.
Yeah.
Like, he is
he's
actually...
He's a thinker, he's a planner.
He's a thinker, planner, but also, like, the first insight is like, wow, he's huge.
Yeah.
And intimidating.
That's all. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Faith.
So, I have ones that I really like, but I can't think of ones that is, like, my favorite.
Extremely sad. Who's one of the ones that you really like?
So, I really like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
In all iterations, including the comics. I've always really liked Spider-Man. So, I wish they would stop making movies. Please stop.
Yep.
There's been enough. They should have stopped.
Don't make any more movies in general.
Yeah.
Except... John Wick.
Yeah, more John Wick, please.
Yeah.
Look, that 2020, you almost got your wish.
I mean, 2019, they so almost close. Stopped, or 2018, they almost stopped making a Spider-Man also, movie specifically.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was a real good movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's a good movie. Yeah, so I really like Spider-Man. The Spider-Man universe in general is my jam. So I do also really like Venom is my yeah. one of my favorite super villains.
I fucking love that movie. It's not good. I fucking loved
it. It's not a good movie, however.
It's a very Tom Hardy movie.
I crave Woody Harrelson as Carnage with like
yeah.
all
yeah,
of my being.
Doing that.
Look.
Right? Yeah.
Carnage is one of those characters that I've never liked Carnage in any text that he's in,
yeah.
but I love the idea of yes. the character.
I mean, I think that Carnage without Spider-Man is such an odd idea because the like Carnage should be like, hey, this is the fucking like comics podcast now. Carnage is a character that you should put up against a younger Peter yeah. Parker who can't deal with that.
Yeah.
He can't deal with a horrific serial murdering monster.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like that is what they should do with that. And then just, yeah. anyway.
I thought that I would not like Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I actually do. The yeah, worst nice. Spider-Man was Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
The best Spider-Man was Tobey Maguire.
Oof.
Andrew Garfield.
Just like one bad read after another there.
Andrew Garfield was better than he gets credit for in those movies.
And Tobey Maguire cannot act.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire was bad.
Yeah, but that's why he was so good.
Okay. Spider-Man 3, best Spider-Man movie.
Spider-Man 3 is the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, sure.
Or, look, I'm not here to kill you, but maybe that's where this episode goes. I don't feel particularly passionately about any of the Spider-Man movies, so let's not threaten murder, Zane. Let's move on to our hooks, shall we?
Yeah.
Who would like to describe the image that we are taking inspiration from this episode?
Yeah, no, do you want to do it, Jonathan?
Oh, I can describe
or
it. Absolutely.
I can do it.
So the image is a muscled being in a bath with a head that has three faces on it. One is, I believe, a lynx. One is, I believe, a tiger. And one is, I believe, some kind of leopard.
I thought cheetah, but sure.
I thought caracal, tiger, and cheetah.
Well, I said serval.
Could be a serval
yeah,
as well, because of the big ears.
Anyway.
Besides
yeah.
the point, they also have sort of like a heavenly crown above them, a big mane, and they are holding a glass of wine, looking very relaxed.
Yeah, so like a multi-faced feline gentleman soaking in a tub with a glass of wine.
Yes.
And I want to point out, this is drawn by my partner, M, as was a drawing from a previous episode.
Absolutely. Thank you for sending in your art, M.
Yeah.
This,
So this one, sorry, the card, so there was part of a thing where the M decided to do a thing in the evening as an art challenge where it was going to like, hey, people on Facebook, send me three emojis and I will draw a deity out of those three emojis. And I submitted three emojis and it was three different cat emojis. One was like smiling, one was love hearts, and I think one might have been shocked or something like that. And it was just like, all right, yeah, pretty one-to-one, that works, yeah.
And the word that we are taking inspiration from today is salvation.
Salvation.
So, who would like to go first with their pledge?
I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
I've written a lot. I'm really determined to do good this week.
All right.
Okay, so...
Do it.
It sounds really wanky, but I'm going to read it out anyway. Okay, so a large golden city towers over a river. The party have been summoned here by a mysterious agent who's contacted them via a golden letter. They've asked them for their assistance in solving a series of crimes in the city. Word has spread of the party's detective ability. So this is like a later of side arc.
So they have a little bit of like credence and their reputation.
Yeah, they've been around for a little while. They're, you know, they've gone up a couple of levels. So upon arrival, the party discover a bustling market filled with lots of people. Everyone is wearing colored robes. The colors are red, blue, and yellow. They arrive at the location requested only to find another letter that reads, "All is not what it seems. People are going missing. Help us unify." So that is my...
The pledge?
My pledge.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's move on. Who's going next?
I can.
Yeah, let's have the people who write their ideas out.
Oh, mine's really short.
Let's have the nerds.
Fucking writers.
I'm not sorry, I'm committed.
I'm a big nerd.
Do the, like, showing your workings? What are you, teacher's pet? Fuck.
Zane, if you'd like to take a look at the... So the setting is a giant city in the middle of the desert. It's sort of like the biggest oasis in that area is kind of how it's considered.
It's like natural oasis, not like magic city in the middle of the desert.
Seemingly so.
Okay.
Yeah. That may change. Who knows?
All right.
Uh-huh. Spoilers. It's like considered a huge blessing by the peoples of the desert because it's easy to come to get the water, trade, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the center of this is this big, big cat person who is this self-described...
It's me. The big cat person.
self-described god of bounty and calls himself the savior of that region.
Okay. So we have magic... Well, not magic, just a really good city in the desert ruled over by the savior, Catman.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I allowed to ask for a name yet? Like, it's just... Are they just call themselves the savior?
They're called the Thundercat. No.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Jonathan!
We have to get the Samoflange.
Thundercats are no, okay?
Sorry, they're a warrior cat.
No, I'm fucking good.
I haven't got a name yet.
I regret asking the question. Dom.
Hi, Dom here. So this one, pretty setting agnostic, but with a specific sort of trigger for implementation. And it's that one of the player characters is having a bad time. Like they are going through a kind of a depressive phase. And most RPG players, I feel like, don't necessarily do this, but I'm sitting here planning this hook and realizing that all of my characters at some point have had the plot go in a direction, or their character arc go in a direction where I've played several sessions where they are miserable, bitter wrecks for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm. It's only fair. Like, characters need to grow through trauma.
Yeah.
That's the only way I know how to grow, personally.
Yeah. Like, in the most recent campaign where I was a character, it was actually only a few episodes apart, was my character lost faith in her religion because, like, they had a first, like, a proper encounter with her god and discovered that it wasn't willing to intervene to save the world and was like, well, fuck you then. And then a few episodes later died and got reincarnated as a gnome and, the other players are a bit like, why are you taking this so hardly? And I'm just like, I'm working out my gender dysphoria. So anyway, back to the hook. What happens is one of the players has been having a bad time. They have an NPC that they're related to died. They've gotten beaten up in combat a few times. They're a fighter that lost in the arena, something like that. And that they are, and this is something where it's a multi-episode, multi-session sort of thing where it's now part of the character. They're having a bad time. One night they go to sleep and in they wake up and they're in a wonderful bathhouse and there is this beautiful cat deity person here and it's just like, I'm just gonna say brother, but you know, gen whatever. It's like, brother, welcome to my bathhouse. Please put on a robe.
Because you're naked?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've had those dreams.
Sure.
The cat person, the nakedness, right?
I mean, I'm not the only one. Like, cat people, am I right?
Right.
They live in your dreams.
Yeah.
Right.
Is what happened to me after watching Cats 2019. But I think those were closer to nightmares, however.
I don't know. I had a fucking, like, you need to be high. It's a great experience if you're stoned, I gotta say.
I'm still not gonna do it.
See, I want to do it drunk. That's how I want to hit.
I had one of the worst nights of my life when I saw that on opening night while drunk, but a few weeks later I saw it while high. Oh my god, transcendent experience.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Shall we go back to Faith.
Yes. Okay.
For your turn.
Who's Faith?
May I remind
I
you?
No.
May I remind you that you need to name your hook during this phase of explanation?
Why are you laughing at me?
You look so scared.
I am. Okay.
You can't show the fear. Zane knows when you're afraid, like they can smell fear.
I'm always afraid. Okay, so if you remember, we're in this town. People are wearing funky colored robes.
Yep.
They've been summoned here to help because people are going missing.
Yeah.
Okay, a three-headed leader rules this city. You've all heard descriptions of what they look like.
Yeah, maybe Catman.
Yeah, so I said it was a serval. So the serval head rules over the farmlands, waterways, and keeping the city fed. Those who work for him tend the fields and river, and they wear blue. So the tiger rules over commerce, markets, builders, and the economy. He sets the trading price, runs the markets, the banks, controls the treasury. His followers wear yellow. And then the cheetah rules the military. So that's military, diplomatic relations, keeping the city safe. I haven't said police because they don't exist.
Good.
Magical town.
Good. No bastards here.
Everyone in the city knows their place. Upon investigation, it seems as though the people who have been going missing are sort of equally from each faction. Like, there's not one particular one that's been affected.
Yeah, so like one serval goes missing, one tiger goes missing, one cheetah goes missing, one serval goes missing.
It's exactly like that. It's beautiful, really. So
as long as it's happening in sequence, it's fine.
That's neoliberalism right there, maybe.
Everything has its place. So, so it's the party's job is to investigate these missing people, try to find them, figure out where they're going missing.
Are they brought
how
in
missing.
By this ruler, or are they brought in by other people in the town?
So they don't know who sent them.
Okay,
it's a mysterious letter, and the only communication they have with the person who contacted them.
You're the only one who can help us. Please help.
Yeah. Mm. If the party investigates further, they will soon discover that the people who have gone missing have been people who've also been complaining about the system of government used to rule the city. Dissenters.
It's a coincidence.
So,
well, we need to know, is there a big base of unsatisfied people, or are these like few and far between? And so it's like very...
It seems like there's a sort of underground movement.
Right.
You could say, of people who are dissatisfied with the way that the city is run.
Okay.
So it is generally considered that whatever family you come from, that tends to be what you do because that's what you learn when you're growing up. And so that's sort of how it continues.
It's a caste system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if your parents are a farmer, then you're a farmer. And if your parents are a trader,
but
then
you're a trader. Be a farmer.
Tends to be pretty difficult to get out of whatever it is that you're
If you just
doing.
Lie down and don't do anything, they won't call you a farmer.
It's true. They'll call you a liar.
Yep.
Hee-hoo! That was funny. Anyway. So people are pretty unhappy with the system of government. And it's not just like farmers.
Can
it
you
seems
imagine
to be...
not being...
this is so strange. I know. Cast your minds into this fantasy world.
Where there's a possibility of an insurrection every other day.
It seems to be that people are not happy with the system of government and they're going missing. So it is up to the party to figure out.
They need to seek out the mighty Q and see what he has to say about all of this.
But alas, Q is anonymous.
No one knows his identity.
What is the name of your hook?
The name of my hook is the three-headed beast.
Thank you. Thank you for not accepting our offer of QAnon that we made at the exact wrong time.
No, I skated on by that one.
You sure did. Jonathan.
Yeah.
Hello.
Turn your hook into something nice.
So I think this is the kind of thing where the city acts as a base for the players and a story unfolds in the city as they return from their adventures. It's a central point, right? And so I think it starts off as this beautiful place, but of course, the longer that you spend in the city, you start to realize more and more things that are just slightly off. Like guards taking liberties with like prisoners and that kind of stuff, and people entering poverty and having no way of escaping. All the, you know, all the strange things that...
I don't understand where all this inspiration's coming from.
Shocking stuff, man.
Who knows?
What kind of twisted mind?
What awful society this could represent. And you... sort of hear rumors that the god cat is getting increasingly controlling, abusing their powers, and making it much more difficult for those who visit the city, as well as abusing those within it. Basically, they've gone
mad. They've got power. Corrupt. Yeah,
they're fully corrupt. Now, the point for the pledge could also work as the title for the story, which is Attack and Dethrone God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You get where I'm going with this. I'm going to leave.
No, I see. I see where we're going.
So that's the title of the game.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So I didn't know that we were going to get so political with this.
I don't know. I don't know why this cat caused this.
My card was government.
Oh, mine was setting. I have no excuse.
I'm not revealing mine yet.
Dumb.
Hi. So mine is demigod or secret. And they're both going to come in. So this god introduces himself, or themself, because it's a triad of cats, as Bast, just because that's a cat god. And basically, this is the... Oh, by the way, after the initial, like, oh, I'm in a dream and there's a cat god, the other members of the party walk through other doors and they're like, oh, we're all here. And the other players are playing the characters are totally normal. And the cat god Bast is just like, hey, let's have a chill day. And this is a beach episode of a fucking anime. This is like everyone is like hanging out and talking about their feelings, and they're doing like there's a wrestling competition. Like this whole session is like everyone just doing what they want, and having a good time. And there's like there's a wallet making. Like you're on summer camp with your friends.
A wallet making?
That's the thing that happens in some like summer camps.
Well, okay.
What kind of wrestling? Professional wrestling?
What? Jesus Christ, Jonathan! Keep it in your pants.
The type of
wrestling.
That,
no, very specifically the type of wrestling that the players want to do, because it's all up to the players.
I'm not sure what anime this is that I was watching, because I was very young at the time, and it was on SBS late at night.
Yeah,
but I very clearly remember turning on and they were just in a bathhouse. Yeah. And there was a whole mix up between young men and women in the same bath, and they were like all very embarrassed.
Sorry,
and
you're going to have to narrow down this. This is every
you
anime.
You have no idea how little that narrows it
that,
down.
That's my question is like, it's a beach episode in anime.
Beach
wrestling and in a bathhouse.
When I say it's a beach episode, it's like it's an episode where there's lots of plot that's building up. Everything's getting really intense, and then they go to the beach, and it's just about interpersonal relationships, and they're having a good time.
Yeah.
And very specifically, they're talking about their feelings a lot, and the players are talking about their feelings. And I'll get to the prestige about what's going on there, but sure. Yeah, everyone's having a chill time, and specifically the player who is having this dream is like people are talking to them about being like, hey, you've had a rough time, let's have an actual chat about this.
Yeah.
And this hook is just called The Bathhouse of Bast.
Is Bast like very involved in this whole scenario, or just kind of overseeing
as involved as he needs to be, but
just a camp counselor,
you
really.
Know, do you know, can I go straight into the prestige from here?
Sure.
Because what it is that I want, this is a situation where the DM has talked to the other players beforehand and been like, hey, we're doing this, like, and all of you except the other player the one player who's having the bad time, they don't know about that. This is planned, and the other characters like, it's just like, hey, we're gonna have an episode, keep calling them episodes, a session where like all this trauma is coming to a head for this character, and they're having a dream, and you're all in the dream. Is it a dream? Question, like, is it or is it not a dream?
Yeah.
But when the character wakes up, you're not, then they're not going to remember, your characters aren't going to remember it.
Yeah.
The character who's sleeping will, but they won't. So like, it's a way, I think it's an interesting opportunity to have the players have their characters be more open with each other and relax and role play some relaxation, because a lot of the time we're like, in some good campaigns, some good role playing campaigns, people like, they'll describe, oh, I go to the bar and I get it. They describe all the weird things they do, but then it's just like, yeah, I go and I wipe down my sword and prepare for the next day's battle. This is a session where you're like, hey, your character's letting loose a little bit. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's not your character. It's either a god representation of it or a dream version. Who knows? It's going to be something that this one character will wonder forever and probably talk to some priests about. But like, this is like, it's a catharsis opportunity for this character.
Can I just hop into chill system real quick?
Go on.
I was going to say, systems are like Blades in the Dark, and based on that
with
engine,
with the downtime
they have
mechanic?
Specifically have exactly. As part of the mechanic have the downtime action, which is where you talk about how you de-stress specifically what your activity is, and you could hang out with other characters and stuff like that. I think like it's a cool thing.
Yeah, I think this is something where you could slot it into a campaign, where you're playing with a system that doesn't have that built in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like something where, for starters, you can help a character, help a player along with their emotional catharsis of their character arc, and have the other character, the other players, branch out a bit and be more open with their characters and that sort of thing. And also just, and also like, how often do you get to be like, hey, we're gonna have a no holds barred battle in the arena, and there's a god here is saying, don't worry, children, you won't you won't have a scratch on you after the end of it. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we're gonna fight. Yeah. So yeah.
And that's when the cat god shows his real face and you all kill each other.
Yeah. Look, yeah. So
it was a trick. It's so a cutting plan.
My card that I had, one side is demigod, which sure, that's best, but the other side is secret. And the secret is that one player doesn't know that the other players are in on it. And that's the sort of thing that I think more people should be willing to do, is just be like, keep details from different players and that sort of thing. And
my question there is, what do you think about the idea of keeping it more as dramatic irony than actually keeping a secret from the players? The idea of the player knowing but the characters not knowing. Because
if you trust your players to still have a good time with that, but I think that'll depend on who you are as a DM, who your players are as players.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think honestly, having that meta game at play as well, I think really would bring things out of that situation that you wouldn't usually expect or you wouldn't usually get if like everyone knew that this was a dream that may or may not be real.
Yeah.
If one character is like, oh God, what? Yeah. Why are you saying that? We haven't. You don't speak about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think it gives you an opportunity to be more open and have real reactions and stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, like the player is just like, oh man, that weird. Like the one player is just like, oh, that weird thing where we were sucked into the like that cat god's bathhouse, and the other players get to be like, what?
Have some fun dreams.
What are you talking about there? I don't know what that's about. So yeah, that's my hook.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. So, sorry, what was the name?
The Bathhouse of Bast.
The Bathhouse of Bast.
The Bast House, if you will.
Nope.
Okay.
I won't, actually.
Yep, I think that's a fair call. Faith.
About to try.
Okay, so pretty much, like, I've pretty much sort of set the story here, and the players can, like, decide how they want to proceed. So, obviously, some people in this town are not happy, and they are disappearing. And the players will need to figure out who, why, where. Are they alive? Are they dead? I don't know. So, it's a pretty big arc.
Yeah.
So,
So that's I really like the ambiguity of like, are they being picked off by the powers that be, or are they running away and like just going underground to do some damage?
Yeah.
And in which case, where do your loyalties lie? Do you stop the underground movement to preserve the peace, or do you play God and kill the governor for them?
Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of options that you can sort of take from like and sort of go from here. You know, it's like, do you investigate government further? Do you as a party have to determine whether you agree with the way the city is run?
But also you were called here by someone, so I think that's probably where I would start, is like trying to figure out who brought us here. Because is it worth getting involved?
Yeah, and like that, I've sort of tried to leave it pretty open-ended, because that can be however you as a DM or in whatever system you wanted to use it in, like how you can choose who you want this person to be.
Yeah.
Is it someone who is a part of the underground movement? Is it someone who is a part of the like military? Is it someone who, you know, who wants to put a stop to this and be like, no, you're like, this is the perfect way? And like, so you'll have to, like, you can sort of decide how you want to play that character. And the governor itself, so this like three-headed beast, I've sort of imagined them in my particular scenario, that it's like three different people seemingly arguing amongst each other about how best to run a city, because no one person can decide how to run a city. It's like,
I think Stalin would disagree.
Really? I was thinking that Emperor Palpatine would disagree. But
I mean, potato, potato.
Yeah, you know, like, so obviously one person cannot rule an entire city.
What I'm saying is Alderaan made some mistakes and maybe they deserve it. That's just the opinion that I'm bringing here.
And that, like, you know, it opens up a lot of a big discussion about government. But like,
obviously, which is what you want in a role playing.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, I think yeah, this hook really kind of leaves it open to like see where your players want to go. Like, yeah. if they are feeling more anti-government, you can give them that story. If they're feeling more like anti-insurrectionist, they can go
and
down
I guess
that route.
It gives your players an opportunity to that if they're going to role play to like maybe role play the type of person that isn't them, you yes. know, maybe they're like, well, I'm playing a paladin and like,
are you trying to get that- me to play a game as a MAGA hat wearing Republican? Because that's a
I mean, that's never gonna happen, but like, you know, be like, okay, well, my player is a paladin and their particular like the way that they worship is that they wouldn't actually be comfortable going against
the
Lord system and so they would be like, well,
lawful paladin.
Yeah, exactly. Like they would be like, well, this is how I would do it because that's what like
status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. And what was your hook called?
Three-headed beast.
Three-headed beast. Okay, Jonathan.
Attack and dethrone God. Yep. So actually, yep. I'm going to go back and confirm a thing. I think it is a naturally occurring spring that this person has come and monopolized. Going to fully bring that in. Ties in
so nicely. Mad Max again.
Fun?
Mad Max again.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. And it ties in well with the whole like becoming obsessed with the power and holding over it. And I'm extremely on my bullshit tonight. It's up to the players to form some kind of way to overthrow this monopolistic cat god.
Rise
like,
up.
Yeah, exactly. Create a revolution.
Whisper campaign.
I don't know what else to say other than attack and dethrone God. I think my title really accepts.
No, I think that's totally fine. So, but I guess that really depends on the nature of this creature. Is it a creature that is pretending to be a demigod / god?
I think it is a super powerful supernatural creature that is claiming godhood because of what it has access to, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't. It's not full demigod, but it's like I guess. Okay, I'm really bad at like D&D power levels, but like liches are fairly powerful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
exactly.
Mean, they're just super powerful undead mages. Yeah.
So I'm thinking like lich level of power, maybe not an undead creature in itself.
Sure.
Yeah, like I think it would be fun to do a whole thing where you have to secretly try and gather and find ways to undermine this system without being caught, without being found out immediately, you know?
Yeah, especially because there's no real escape because it's in the middle of a desert.
Exactly. Like, yeah. This is our option. We need this oasis.
Okay.
What can we do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, those are our three hooks. We had attack and dethrone God. We had the three-headed beast. And we had...
Bathhouse of Bast.
Bathhouse of Bast. Sorry.
It's a Bast House.
Bast House.
No, we decided we're not calling it a Bast House.
I think Faith and I decided that we are calling it Bast House.
Well, you can be wrong together if you so wish.
Yeah, you guys are gonna like fall asleep tonight and you're gonna wake up in a like a dream of a bathhouse where you're going to learn the error of your fucking ways.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Alright, as always, if you want to use any of these hooks in your games, please feel free to and let us know about it. You can find us on Facebook and you can find us on Twitter, or you can send us an email at podcast.hooked@gmail.com. If you want to use these otherwise, we are produced under a Creative Commons Attribution and Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License, which means you are free to share and redistribute the material in any medium or format if you give the appropriate credit, but don't use the material for commercial purposes or remix, transform, or build upon the material in any way without asking us first. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Kilcher, where I tweet about wrestling, and you can find me on the other podcast, Rataloid, which I will record.
All right. Well, I guess if you say it enough times, it's bound to happen.
I did an episode at some point.
Then it has yet to be released.
That's fine. Don't worry about that.
Thank you very much, Dom.
Hi, the name's Dom Guilfoyle. You can also find me on the Mistome Museum of Mystery, Morbidity, and Mortality, an audio drama that I make by myself. Some people tell me it's good, some people tell me it's bad, but they're wrong. Let's be real. You can also find me on Twitter at a different Dom. If you're ASIO, you can't find me.
Because that's not Dom.
Can't find me, ASIO.
And thank you very much, Faye.
You can find me on the internet. I have an OnlyFans. I plugged it last 2 weeks. So if you want the link, you can...
It'll be in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes.
We're just going to spread that link everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And that's been hooked for another week. join us again next week for more plot hooks for your RPG games. Keep playing games, everyone.
Or don't. Like, whatever. You be you. Do what you want. Like, I'm not judging you. Don't say Bast House. Don't say Bast House.
Bast House.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.